the FWA podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Yes, welcome back. It doesn't seem 5 minutes since we were talking to you last season. The FWA podcast is back for another go round, and delighted to say that the chairman of the Football Writers Association and columnist for the Sunday Mirror, Andy Dunn, is with us. Hi, Andy, you well?
Yes, I'm very well, thanks, Lee. You're right, it just seems like yesterday when the World Cup final was taking place, doesn't it?
It does, yeah, and it's barely stopped because it's been straight into kind of all the transfer speculation as well. The theme park hasn't quite opened, the Premier League theme park, but the managerial merry-go-round started already, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Unbelievable. I mean, we were talking last week about the fact that Sam Allardyce was odds on to be the first Premier League manager to go. I was talking to a few people about maybe Paul Lambert being a good bet and all the rest of it. And then Tony Pulis. I mean, the gamble started and within 12 hours, he was gone.
He was gone. In fact, when you mentioned Sam Allardyce earlier in the summer, there were a few people sort of suggested to me that Sam might not make the start of the season. And then I think David Gold accidentally retweeted a tweet that had been sent saying Sam should go. He apologised for that and said he didn't mean to. And a lot of people thought that Sam might actually not make the opening game against Spurs, but Tony Pulis has beaten him to it. I mean, it's easy with hindsight, but of course the signs were there at the end of the season when Pulis wouldn't commit his future, and there were a lot of rumours of the relationship between him and Steve Parish, the part owner of Crystal Palace and the executive chairman, not getting on, not seeing eye to eye in the way transfers, where the transfer policy was being laid out. Clearly those disagreements have actually reached a level where they turn into, you know, really plain old-fashioned arguments, and Tony Pulis agreed to go, or by mutual consent. I think it's a good time in a way. It's a strange time for a manager to go, 2 days, 48 hours before the big kickoff. But from Tony Pulis's point of view, his reputation has never been higher. Had he started and, say, lost, you know, six or seven games out of the first handful, then his reputation might have took a blow. Now he'll obviously be probably top of the list when we compile the odds for the next vacancy that comes up.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, I mean, and he's got a point as well, Andy. I mean, I've done a few previews this week where I've even after the great finish that they had to the season and since he took over, I was kind of tipping them for relegation because third fewest goals in the Premier League last season. The two above them in that chart, if you like, went down. They haven't really recruited well enough. Fraser Campbell isn't going to get you another 15-20 goals. I know Glenn Murray's going to be fit, but he only got one goal in 14 starts before he did his cruciate last year. Shamak, Dwight Gayle, not prolific. He's got a point. They haven't strengthened enough to stay in the division, have they?
No. He has got a point. You know, I can actually see probably both sides of it. I mean, Tony Pulis's policy all the time, when he was at Stoke, it was fascinating, really, because his 5 years as Premier League manager at Stoke, his second spell he was in charge for 7 years, obviously got them promoted after a couple of seasons, but his 5 years in the Premier League, he actually had one of the highest net spends at Stoke City. So in terms of which club had spent the most in terms of making, you know, a deficit or a profit in transfers. And I think it was only Chelsea, Manchester City and Liverpool had actually spent more net than Stoke City. And I think Steve Parish has looked at that in a way and thought, you know, I want to buy players that maybe have a resale value in the future. And that's never been Tony's speciality. But what is his speciality is buying players that keep teams in the Premier League. He kept a succession of Stoke City teams in the Premier League. He did the same with Palace. He knew they needed strengthening. Parish would not put his financial faith in Tony Pulis. So I think, to be honest, yeah, I think basically they're just best apart, the two of them. You know, they're best of each other, to be honest.
Yeah, probably, yeah. You can bet on the next Crystal Palace manager. Malky Mackay is the 8-11 favourite this early on. Neil Lennon, 6-1. Tim Sherwood is 6-1 as well. Keith Millen, 10-1. Chris Hughton is 12-1. Alan Pardew, of course, in a job, 14s. David Moyes, has been a bit of speculation about him, 14-1. Same price for Steve Clark, 16-1 for Glenn Hoddle, and it's 20-1 and bigger the rest of them. Neil Lennon looks an obvious choice. If you don't want to back Malky Mackay at such a short price, Neil Lennon, and I was saying in the summer in the World Cup, that he's ready to get back into it, just waiting for the right opportunity.
Yeah, but you know what, Lee? I would actually probably take Neil Lennon out of the equation right now. For me, it would be between Malky Mackay. Obviously, he has strong links with Palace's director of football, Ian Moody. They work together, obviously, at Cardiff. And Tim Sherwood, I think, would take that job, and I think has already had talks from what we understand. I think Neil Lennon's problem, he would be an obvious choice. I do think that Neil Lennon, in the past, I know that he has been linked with Premier League jobs, and I think one of the prerequisites for him would be to be given the autonomy to run the transfers himself, run the coaching staff and everything himself, basically to make all the important decisions. What's clear from why Tony Pulis has left and maybe why Ian Holloway went in the past, the results weren't great then, I think what's clear is that the manager, whether he likes it or not, will not be allowed to run that club just with space solely on his own decisions. And I think that would be off-putting to someone like Neil Lennon.
Yeah, that's fair enough. That market's there. Crystal Palace have also been clipped in for relegation as well. 2-1, second favourites to go down. Burnley are 4-7, by the way. Crystal Palace 2-1 with QPR 2-1. Who, you know, if you compare those two clubs, QPR look much more settled with probably a much better squad as well in terms of the relegation market. But we shall see. Anything can happen in the Premier League, as we well know. At the other end of the table, Andy. Well, they hope it will be right at the other end of the table. Manchester United, despite spending £60 million quid in the summer so far. The big signing is Louis van Gaal, isn't it? Obviously, did very well with Holland at the World Cup. He's got a great pedigree in club football as well. And the players, it's almost like they were crying out for someone to grab them by the scruff of the neck and tell them what to do again, wasn't it? Because they've really taken to his regime, haven't they? And I know pre-seasons can't be trusted particularly, but they're certainly full of confidence and they're certainly scoring goals in pre-season.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, I mean, I think there was an element, you know, of when... I don't like to compare the sort of David Moyes era with what's going to come up because, you know, I don't think it's really fair. You know, David Moyes is a decent manager and a decent guy. And, you know, it proved to be a very tough job for him, and the players particularly didn't step up for him. I think in Van Gaal's case, you have got a situation where he can stand in front of them and he demands total respect. I mean, this is a guy who, you know, never mind, you know, Sir Alex Ferguson is one of the greatest managers of all time, but he did it all in one country, you know, Scotland as well, but all here in the British Isles. These are guys, the likes of Van Gaal, who brackets himself in the same sort of, you know, category as Mourinho, as Ancelotti, as these type of characters have done it all around the major footballing nations. And those players, you know, will respect that, and those players will know that he knows exactly what he wants, and that if you deviate from that path, you're in trouble. So you can tell us straight away, but that's got to have an effect, because actually you're absolutely spot on that their big signing, their marquee signing, is Louis van Gaal. Luke Shaw and Ander Herrera were two players who David Moyes would have signed anyway had he stayed. They were two deals that were put in motion during the David Moyes era. So, you know, in a way, Van Gaal hasn't actually signed a player yet. I'm sure he probably will do. I think Marcus Rojo will probably make it there, and he might sign a couple more. But you're right. I mean, you know, when you cut through all the interest and the hype around Manchester United, you know, Man United fans have got to hope Van Gaal does have such a positive impact, because in terms of playing staff, it hasn't changed that much.
No. They're 5-1 to win the Premier League, which seems a bit of a stretch, bearing in mind where they were last year. And if they don't sign anyone, another major signing before before the January window, they've got a lot of catching up to do. Chelsea look a phenomenal side and squad at the moment, 2-1 favourites. Man City, of course, been there and done it, you know, twice in the last few years. Maybe have a bit more of an eye on the Champions League this year, and then Arsenal at 6-1. What's your view on the title race, Andy?
I think Chelsea are probably just about, you could say, narrow favourites. I mean, I think what they've done is they've addressed their problems, the areas that they needed to improve in. They've signed Fabregas. I think Diego Costa is a magnificent sign. I think he will be absolutely to the manner born when it comes to the Premier League. And I actually think Wayne Rooney will probably be top scorer this season in the Premier League, but I think Costa will be a contender for that should he stay fit. So I think they've made the good signs, so they should be narrow favourites. What I would say on the United at 5-1, it does look a bit skinny, but having said that, if you back them now at 5-1, what I think will happen and will be in your favour is that he will sign players. You know, people forget it's the start of the Premier League season this weekend, but it's not the end of the transfer window. You know, there will be 2 weeks of activity, and United will sign players. And also, of course, United do have that, you know, relatively comfortable start of the season. And I think come August the 31st, September the 1st, when the transfer window closes and United might have, you know, 9 points out of nine on the board, they might even be a little bit smaller than 5-1.
Yeah. A lot of people are discussing the who finishes in the top four, Andy, and most people are predicting there'll be a tight race between Manchester United and Liverpool for fourth. What's your view? The betting has Chelsea, Man City, Arsenal as a top three. Even though Arsenal are a bigger price to win the title than Man United are, they're the same price to be in the top four. So, you know, Arsenal always get in the top four, don't they? So.
I guess that's on the basis they always finish in the top four. Yeah, you're absolutely right. I think, I mean, Arsenal fans are quite excited, and understandably so, if you've got someone signing like Alexis Sanchez, who's a very, very exciting acquisition. I mean, I think it should be tempered slightly in Arsenal's case by the fact that they have signed Chambers, they signed Matthew Debuchy, and the goalkeeper Ospina, as well as Sanchez. But they have lost Bakary Sagne, they have lost Thomas Vermaelen, and they have lost Fabianski, of course. But so really, they're only a sort of an Alexis Sanchez in credit, although, you know, very exciting credit that is. I think, again, he certainly needs to sign another defender and maybe another midfielder and a quality striker. So I still think Arsenal will maybe, if I had to have a bet for a team to finish surprisingly outside the top four, I would probably go Arsenal. I mean, my top four at the moment would be Chelsea, City, Liverpool, Man United, and then Arsenal just missing out.
Right, okay, that is interesting. Mm. Yeah. Just one final one on Van Gaal. For you guys, who work in the press and for everyone in the media, it's a long season, and you want a little bit of entertainment along the way. Mourinho is your key entertainer, I suppose. Van Gaal should make it fun for you, though.
Oh, he'd be brilliant. I mean, yeah, brilliant and interesting. Yeah. And what I do like about him as well is that he'll sit up there with players and give players the freedom to say what they want. They're very careful what they say when they sat next to Louis van Gaal. But he treats people very, very maturely. And what he does and what is also good is that, you know, if he doesn't agree with something that you say, he will tell you. He's just all in all a fascinating character, and it's just a great addition. A lot of players have come into the Premier League this summer, £650 million worth of players. We could even, by August the 31st, have £1 billion worth of new players come in. But, you know, the biggest name, really, it could be, you know, is Louis van Gaal. He is the marquee sort of signing, in a way that, say, Suarez is a marquee signing for Barcelona, Rodriguez is a marquee signing, and Cruz for Real Madrid. Premier League hasn't really had, you know, a stellar elite sort of top three or four playing signing, but they have had one in terms of the manager, and we haven't seen him here before. It's been an ambition of his to manage in the Premier League. I'm convinced this will be his last job before he retires, and it'll be fascinating to see how he does, and also, of course, he has the job in his hand to turn a seventh place team into a competitive team.
Yeah, indeed. So the game's got underway with Manchester United versus Swansea at 12:45 on Saturday. The TV games alongside that, Arsenal versus Crystal Palace at 5:30 p.m. The two games on Sunday on the TV are Liverpool versus Southampton and Newcastle versus the champions Manchester City. And then on Monday night, Burnley versus Chelsea. Some intriguing games there from for the big clubs. Man United Swansea, this was the opening day game last year for both these clubs. The other way around, it was at Swansea and they won 4-1 Man United.
And United won 4-1, so we better be careful what we read into a victory for United against Swansea. True. You know, it was all very swimmingly there, and a couple of goals. I think there was a couple for Van Persie and a couple for Welbeck in that game.
Yeah,
well taken goals. Yes, so we better be. I think everyone had. Will sort of just take a step back, no matter what the results are, Old Trafford on Saturday, and say, hang on a minute. Let's not read too much into that. Interesting, you're going through those fixtures. I'm sure there'll be a lot of people out there will be tempted. You've essentially got the five teams who most people believe will fill the five top places in the Premier League. And I'm sure there'll be a lot of people maybe sort of putting all those five team accumulator on in order on Man United, Arsenal, Liverpool, Man City and Chelsea, and I'm sure a lot of people will be tempted. What I would just say is I think that's got an obvious chance of coming in, that five-timer. I think that the Man City, Newcastle Man City game might be the one that might trip punters up there a little bit. I do see comfortable wins for the other big guns in those four games, I think Man City will have a tougher time at Newcastle. Newcastle, you know, have somehow, after the doom and gloom of the last game of the season against Cardiff, when Pardew couldn't even come out of the dugout, he was getting that much stick. I think they've made a lot of signings. You know, a lot of people won't know these players they've signed, but they're very exciting players that they've signed at Newcastle. They seem to have had quite a decent pre-season. Man City, I know it won't be the team that played in the Community Shield, but even Pellegrini hinted that maybe they're just a little bit sort of off the pace, you know, in horse racing parlance, they probably need a run.
Yeah, exactly. Some of that, I mean, you're right about some of the Newcastle side. They always seem to do it in Newcastle. They always seem to unearth a little gem here. And they've got, you know, Remy Cabello, CM De Jong, who's unfortunately got injured. He scored twice in his first two pre-season games, injured. Emmanuel Riviera can score goals. Jan Mat, who obviously went a long way with Holland in the World Cup. It's amazing. It's going to be interesting to see how they, Newcastle are just never far from an absolute disaster, though, are they?
Far from a disaster, but you're right. And you know, a lot of players coming in from the French league, from the Dutch, players that say that we're not particularly familiar, but Cabella, you know, is someone that I haven't seen an awful lot of him, but he's certainly an exciting player. He's a player that's going to excite in the same way that maybe Johan Cabaye excited. Mm. And you know, they have got a good record of improving players, or actually unearthing players who can do very well. But you're right, and the backdrop. It's great because the backdrop to Newcastle, the sort of the mood music is always of Mike Ashley seemingly sort of causing a stir or another. So when we should all be talking about the football and about how exciting these signings are, I've seen stories today saying that all the backroom staff are upset because Mike Ashley won't let them have free tickets to their friends and family for games. So there's always something kicking up there. Yeah. I just think that Newcastle on the first day of season, a very special stadium. I do think, you know, there'll be a great atmosphere. And I just think that the Man City might just be a touch undercooked.
Yeah, I can see why we go with that. 9-2 it is, or just under 9-2 the price for all five to win.
Yeah.
So it's not the biggest price in the world. With Andy's advice there, you might be better off leaving the Man City one out and going for some slightly bigger wins for the others. Maybe like a handicap bet on you know, likes of Liverpool and Arsenal and Man United winning by two clear goals or something.
Yes, the other four I can see. I mean certainly I'd be amazed if Arsenal if Arsenal weren't winning by two clear. Yeah. Man United the same, Liverpool the same against Southampton and Chelsea. At Burnley as well, I think, will start flying. As I say, just that Newcastle City one, I think, will be a bit closer to call.
Yeah. Every week on the FWA podcast, we ask the guests to pick a bet of the week. You've got an interesting one for us this week, Andy. I'm intrigued by this.
Well, I mean, I like being on the first Premier League goal of the season. Obviously, Manchester United play at 12:45. And I do think Wayne Rooney will be absolutely buoyed and inspired tomorrow, on Saturday, by the decision that Van Gaal has given to give him the captaincy. Rooney's looked good in pre-season. Strange enough, he tends to have disappointing tournaments and play well in domestic seasons after it. He will have thought, without a doubt, when he was away with England, he would have thought, and he saw, you know, the relationship between Louis Van Gaal and Robin Van Persie, he would have thought, A, Robin Van Persie is going to be the next captain, B, you know, I'm going to have to start again. I might not even be, you know, I won't be as central to maybe Van Gaal's plans as I was to Sir Alex Ferguson and David Moyes' plans. However, all those maybe anxieties have been dispelled by Van Gaal. Rooney's going to lead them out there as captain against Swansea. I would be backing him as first goal scorer of the Premier League. I also think that Rooney, I think he'll probably be round about 10-1, 12-1 to be the top scorer of the Premier League as well overall. So I might have a little dabble on that.
Interesting one. Wayne Rooney to score first is 100-30, which is not the biggest price in the world. But if you think that Man United are going to win as well, which I think most people would, you get 4-1 for him to score first and Manchester United to win. And as you said, as far as the top scoring market goes, 10-1, spot on Wayne Rooney to be the top scorer. I mean, he's 17 last season, 12 the season before, which was Cattell, 27 the season before that, 26 in 2009, 2010. He's got that record with Lampard, I think, hasn't he, where he's scored in 10 consecutive Premier League seasons now.
I mean, the issues you would have is that Van Persie, I think, will probably take penalties. But then again, you know, you can't guarantee Van Persie's going to be playing all the time. He has had a few fitness problems. They've got a few free kick takers as well. Juan Mata, is someone else who might take the odd free kick. But I just envisage a stellar season for Rooney, and I think Van Gaal will be slightly more direct, play him in a slightly more direct role. I don't think he'll be playing in behind. Van Gaal will either play him in a two up front, and I think he'll have more goal scoring opportunities. I'll give it to him ahead of him. Out of interest, do you have who's ahead of him in the market? Diego Costa, Daniel Sturridge, or
so Robin van Persie is the actual favourite, 92. Yeah. Sturridge is 6-1. Costa is 13-2. Yeah. Then Aguero 7-1.
Yeah, I'll tell you, it's crazy when you actually mention those names. I mentioned before maybe, you know, the shortage of real stellar signings, but we have got stellar players in the Premier League. You know, I mean, those handful of strikers are absolutely brilliant, world-class strikers. It's going to be fascinating to see who comes out on top in that particular battle.
Yeah, obviously you can get each way odd, so you get a place in the top four of the scorers, which a lot of people like when you're going for a slightly bigger price. Andy, it's been a pleasure talking to you. Good to get back involved again, and we'll speak to one of your colleagues from the Football Writers Association next week. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Lee, and you. Really enjoyed it. Thanks.
Cheers. Andy Dunn, the chairman of the Football Writers Association. You can download this podcast at the Football Writers website, which is footballwriters.co.uk. It's available at williamhill.com/podcasts. It's on Audioboo, and you can subscribe via iTunes. As I said, we'll be back next week. But if you haven't bet on any of the opening day fixtures, very best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.